You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Amen. What's up, Westchester? How you guys doing? It is great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. We're so grateful to be here. It's great to have Boston in the house. And have some of our great friends, Collier and Jenna, Dakota, Deanna, everybody else from Boston. We do these teen-led conferences together, so great to have you guys here with us. I do have to say I've been going around confessing my jealousy throughout this morning as I've seen this beautiful building. And, you know, Jim, we got here, he's like, oh, bro, let me take you on a tour, and I'll show you the castle, and I'll show you this room and that room. And I'm like, bro, you're showing off, man. This is like, I'm jealous, I gotta confess, so be with me, Lord. I'm so grateful we sang that song. You know, I told Jim, I realized while we were driving here that I love New Jersey, I was born in New Jersey, and I realized while I was driving here that in coming to New York, you don't have to pay to get back into New Jersey, you only have to pay to go to New York, but you never have to pay to get back into New Jersey. I don't know what that's about. But either way, I'm glad to be here. And also, I do have to say, as a worship leader, I'm here with my youth and family hat, but it was great to just be led in worship. And let's thank the worship team. What an inspiring time of singing. Thank you so much. I know it really, really helped me a lot. And thanks to Jim and Teresa for inviting Manami and I to come. Now, real quick, before we jump into things, you might not realize this, but Jim and my parents actually go way back, way back. And so I'm going to show you let me make sure this can work. There we go. So this is actually a picture. My parents, Bob and Jamie Lippincott, they're down in the Central New Jersey Church of Christ. And they became Christians at Montana State University. And so that's the campus ministry of Montana State. Let me see if this clicker, is the clicker working? There we go. So that's my mom, and that's my dad. I'm using it, but it might not be reaching. And then if you can click the next slide, that is Jim. That's Jim right up there in the top corner. Is this not working? Is this not? It's okay if you're advancing it for me. That's fine. Let me just see if this is. Okay, amen. So, again, here's a closer look. That's my dad on the left right there smiling, and there's Jim Brown with the beard. So I just had to come and, there. If you see, they're in the second row. Oh, you know what? I've got a little pointer. That's my dad, and there's Jim, so he's got the beard. So anyways, needless to say, we love the Browns a lot, and amen, we love them. Now, if you can go to the next picture, we have a one-year-old daughter. Her name is Emmy, and we also love her very much. But I got to say, Emmy loves Teresa. She loves her because, you know, Teresa is, you know, she's an actress. She's so animated and her face, and she's like, you know. So I always know when Emmy has been spending time with Teresa because Emmy is covered in glitter. So anyways, we love the Browns. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us here. Manami and I also, we love working with the youth and family ministry. And even though we're in New Jersey, you might not see us a whole lot all the time. I'm grateful to be here. But we have a heart for all of our kids in throughout the whole New York City Church of Christ. You know, we know and love many of your kids from Teen Camp, from Solid Rock, from All New York Devos. And so I just want to say we love working with the youth in our church. And we feel a very special calling from God, and we're so grateful to know and love many of your children. If you can go to the next slide, just a quick bit of promo. We've got an exciting event coming up for the teens, which is we are having Solid Rock at the Bronx Zoo. And that's going to be really fun. Instead of Solid Rock at 6 p.m., it's going to be at 10 a.m., and we're going to have a devotional in a really cool event space and then go out and admire God's creation. Because we grow in our faith, not just we grow from the Word, but then also when we see creation, it helps us to have faith in God. Today's message is titled, Unite, I think actually it's working now. Okay, there we go. Unite, thank you so much, Wendy. Uniting behind the next generation. Amen? Jim asked me to come share today what's been going on in New Jersey. You know, God's really been at work in a powerful way in our youth and family ministry. We used to be called the teen ministry, right? But now we are a youth and family ministry. You know, we're inclusive of the whole family. And I got to say, I just got to stop and say, I appreciate TJ Parisi. And I appreciate Derek and Lynn Clay and Carrie Quinn and all of the people here that are working hard. That's right. Give it up for them who work with their youth, your youth here in the Eastern Family Ministry. You know, we have great families in this church. Westchester is a family church. And I heard you guys had a parents versus youth fear factor. Who won that, by the way? Oh, the parents won the family versus teens. What happened? I don't know. Also, tonight I heard you guys have a father-daughter dance. Is that correct? So that's amazing. And I guess I just want to say, look, you guys are doing it. You guys have embraced youth and family. And again, thanks to TJ, thanks to the Browns, thanks to the Clays. You guys are embracing youth and family. You're doing it. And hopefully what I share with you today will continue to help you to unite behind our youth. In New Jersey, we're also, like Westchester, a merged region. So we were three groups that got put together. And we were combined into one New Jersey region. And over the last few years, we've had about 70 teens in one pretty large geographic area. But we only had about 10 teen workers for those 70 kids. And don't get me wrong, these are 10 incredible, great-hearted, amazing disciples. But they had full-time jobs. And there's no way that one person could invest in 10 kids a week. That's impossible. You know, we felt like Jesus in Matthew 9:37. If you can go to the next slide. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, we felt like Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, but the teen workers are few. We did not have a lot of teen workers. And so we felt like Jesus there. We saw the harvest. But we didn't have young campus and singles like in the past to be teen workers. In New Jersey, our marrieds are the biggest group in our church, probably similar to Westchester. And so we didn't have enough teen workers to invest in each teen in our ministry. Now, I care about every single teen and all of our youth, and I want to see them all at least get a shot at becoming a disciple. You know, adolescence is a time where the heart and the mind are shaped, right? Our teens are very shapeable, very moldable, but the world is trying to shape them too. And in a negative way. So I started to feel discouraged because we didn't have the manpower to shape them in a positive way, to go against the world and to shape our kids. But after much prayer and advice, you know, we came to a realization. I could sit around wishing that we had all these team workers, or we could go in the strength that we have. We could use what we've got. And so the result in New Jersey is we decided to implement mentoring, okay? So what is mentoring? And that's really what I'm here to talk to you guys about today. Mentoring is simply taking an interest in someone to guide and help them in a positive way. Amen? Our Marys, you guys are incredible. You guys are amazing. We've got great parents. We've got a dynamic singles and campus ministry as well. You guys have spiritual expertise. Many of you have been in the ministry at one point or another. Many of you have led Bible talks. Been trained, know how to lead Bible studies. Many of you have spent so much time in God's Word, you have a deep relationship with God. And you also have a wide range of career expertise, you know, career experience. Many of you have been to college, right? Teens, you want to go to college? Anybody, you want to go to college? Anybody here been to college? So you got people that you can talk to them and say, how did you do it, right? You know, many of you have been successful in your career. You guys want to get a job? Anybody? Yeah? So then you can talk to them, how did you get your job? How did you do this? You know, teens, through mentoring, we can tap in to the potential and to the knowledge of the people around us, into their wisdom and their expertise. You know, we've got people in this room that have been Christians 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Imagine if you guys added up all of your years of spiritual experience. Imagine what that number would be. You know, just a quick example I like to think of. Don't we love potluck meals in our church? Right? Everybody brings something to the table, right? And it's usually something that's from our culture. We bring our unique spice to the table, right? And so just like that, we need, like in Acts 2:42-47, it says all the believers had everything in common. They shared and they each brought something to the table. And guess what? There was always left over. And we need to take this same concept and apply it to our time and to our time with our kids. Because we need everyone to share the wealth versus the 80-20 rule, right? Which says that there's 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, right? We need more people doing more of the work and sharing it. There's no way that one person working a full-time job, is what we realized, could get with 10 kids a week. But with nearly 600 members in New Jersey, we thought, hey, we can at least find 70 people to spend time with one kid a week. Does that make sense to you guys? We realized that the old model of teen ministry, and depending on youth workers, teen workers, to do everything, you know, by doing that, we were not tapped in to the power of the church. And when we get tapped into the power of the church, it is an amazing thing, isn't it? When we tap into the power of God's church, you see miracles happen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 15, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, earlier in Ephesians 4, verses 12 through 13, Paul tells them that in the church, the body of Christ, the goal is unity. Isn't that your theme here in Westchester? Unity? Well, that's the goal here is unity, and it's also maturity, right? And that's what we're trying to do with our kids, is raise them up, help them to grow from infants to mature spiritual adults who can make mature spiritual decisions. That's what we're trying to do. Here it paints a picture. How do we achieve that unity? It takes lovingly speaking the truth, doesn't it? Speaking the truth in love. It originates with Christ, right? From Him. It takes the whole body, and it talks about every supporting ligament, right? See, I look out here and I see ligaments, right? I'm looking out here and I'm seeing tendons, muscles, ligaments, every supporting piece building itself up in what? In love. I love this last line. It says, each part doing its work. Don't you want to be a part of a church where each part, everyone is doing something? Everybody is doing something and each part is doing their work. That's an amazing church. That's a church we all want to be a part of, isn't it? You know, we all need each other. To me, that guess what that is? That's one another relationships. Being in each other's lives. That's what mentoring is all about. One another, discipleship, prayer partners. Mentoring is right in that same category. It's just that rather than our discipling part, it's with our kids. That's what mentoring is. I got one point today. And that is, if you want to shape a heart, you got to do your part. If you want to shape a heart, you've got to do your part. If we want to help our teens make it to heaven, we need each part doing its work. We need every member of the church engaged as a family, as a community. We need connections between the older and the younger generations. I don't know about you, but I want multiple ligaments attached to my extremities. I don't just want one tendon to my finger, right? I don't want to lose my toes, my pinky toe, right? I'm not willing to lose my fingers or toes. Are you willing to lose our teens? What length are you willing to go to keep them relationally connected to the church? I don't want to see any teen. They got to make their own decision, but I want to give them the best shot that they can have. And I'm not willing, it's just not in me, to see our kids go out to the world. They got to make their decision, yes, but let's give them the best shot that we can. Let's do what we can. I don't want to say, well, I don't have time for that. You know, relationship is what connects us. Isn't that why you are here? Because there's somebody else that's here that connected you, that spent time with you, that loved you, that helped you. And you're here because of relationships. Someone sacrificed time and energy so that you could be connected. And when each part does its work, every ligament is connected. It forms a net. And this is what it looks like, right? So basically we've got here, we've got a parent one with child one, and they got a strong connection. And they got parent two, they're connected to their kids. Parent three connected to their kids. That's TJ right there, and that's Derek Clay. And so they're connected, child is connected to youth worker. But then parent three is connected to child two. Parent two, and so these are mentors, not just parents. And when you look at this, you see a net that keeps our kids from falling through the cracks. And that's what each part doing its work looks like, is that there are connections every which way till Sunday so that our kids don't fall through the cracks. We got parents, mentors, youth workers, teens. when each part does its work, it's a beautiful thing. Now, by a show of hands, I want to get some participation. You guys like that? By a show of hands, how many of you would love for your child to have a spiritual mentor in their lives? Raise them right, nice and high. Raise them high, right? How many of you would like that? All right, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. You guys want a spiritual mentor for your teen, preteen, young teen, your child? Now, what I want you to do, look around. They're the people who just volunteered to mentor your child. Those are your volunteers. We all want someone to mentor our kid, but are you willing to mentor somebody else's kid? Are you willing to take your time out of your, look, you're busy, but are you willing to take your time out of your busy schedule to take an interest in somebody else? See, they're not just somebody else's kids, they're your kids. And you see that when the families believe that about your kids, that, hey, that's my kid, right? I know it's not your kid, it's your kid, not really my kid biologically, but that's my kid, right? When we do that, those children, there's a strong family and community net, and I have seen time and time again groups of these kids that all become Christians because they have experience, they've been a part of a community that loves them. There are many reasons we need mentors. Think back to when you were a teen. Think back to when you were a teen. Was there anything going on in your life that you wish you had somebody you could trust to talk about? Was there something that you went through, something that happened to you or something that you did that you just wish, I wish somebody safe that I could have talked to them? You have the opportunity to be that for somebody else. Our teens today are facing challenges. They've got a lot going on in their heads and in their hearts. When we have teen camp and we have cabin talks, the things that come out of our kids is ridiculous. It's amazing. And it's also beautiful, but there are some things that they've been through and things that they say, and it's just crazy what our youth faces today. They just need somebody who's willing to listen. They need somebody who will listen to them. If we can go to the next slide. In the Disney Pixar film Up, there's a boy named Russell and an elderly man named Mr. Fredrickson. Anybody seen this movie? And they're paired together. I saw this movie with Damon Curtis and a bunch of teens. And we went in thinking, oh, we can't wait. And we came out like crying. It was like, what just happened in this movie? You know, initially, Mr. Fredrickson views Russell as an annoyance. Okay? And so let's see what happens as he digs deeper and asks Russell some questions.
Thanks for keeping us dry anyway, Ellie.
Which one's the front?
No.
Is this step three or step five? There. All done. That's for you. Tents are hard.
Wait, aren't you Super Wilderness Guy with the GPMs and the badges?
Yeah, but can I tell you a secret?
No.
All right, here it goes. I never got to show you built a tent before. There, I said it.
You've been camping before, haven't you?
Well, never outside.
Well, why didn't you ask your dad how to build a tent?
I don't think he wants to talk about this stuff.
Oh, let's try him sometime. Maybe he'll surprise you.
Well, he's away a lot. I don't see him much.
He's got to be home sometime.
Well, I called, but Phyllis told me I bug him too much.
Phyllis? You call your own mother by her first name?
Phyllis isn't my mom.
Oh.
Right? He starts asking some questions, and he starts digging deeper, and he finally realizes, whoa, there's a lot more going on in this kid's life than I thought and I realized. Phyllis isn't my mom, probably his stepmom. He's got something going on in his home life, and he wants someone to pay attention to him, right? And so he finds out, he goes, oh, right? You know, that's pretty crazy. You know, maybe today you feel a little bit like Mr. Fredrickson. Maybe you view mentoring as one extra annoying thing that you would have to do, right? We all do have busy lives. We have things going on. But church, these are our kids, and they need you. They need you now more than ever. Maybe you feel like Mr. Fredrickson in the sense that you feel unrelatable, right? Here's a guy, he's older, he's got some gray hair, he's been around the block. But I'm here to encourage you, because it doesn't matter how old you are or what ministry you're in. I've seen amazing mentors of all ages and in all ministries. And don't be bound by the externals and by your age or how you look, because there are some incredible, they just need someone that he just had needed someone who would talk to him, who he could talk to, and who would listen to him. What really matters, are you spiritual? That's what really matters. Are you spiritual? And if you are, we need you to help our teens. Amen? You know, here are a few mentoring practicals that we learned in New Jersey. Here's how we did it. Basically, what we did was that we presented this like I'm doing today to the church, and we got the church excited about it. And we told the teens about it, and they were excited about it. And we told the adults about it, they were excited about it. But what we did was we had teens and parents, we put the onus on them. They were responsible with coming up with a list of three potential mentors. And then the teen themselves would approach the mentor, because, you know, teens, you can't tell them to do this, and they're going to say, no, I don't want to do that, you know? So it's got to be from them. It's got to be intrinsic if they want it. And so we instructed the church on how to respond if a teen comes up to you and asks you to be their mentor, right? We said, don't say, like, well, I'm too busy, or I don't think I could do that, you know? But just first say, look, thank you so much. I'm so honored that you would want to spend time with me, and let me go back and talk to my wife or my husband, or let me go back and talk to somebody and think about it, and then I'll come back to you with an answer. Does that make sense? Because we don't want to deflate these kids when they get vulnerable and they ask us to do something, okay? Now, if their top choice, for whatever reason, was unable to mentor them, they worked their way down the list until they did find a mentor. Does that make sense to you? All with the help of their parent. You know, they were encouraged to meet at least once every 2 weeks. And we had each member only have one mentor. Remember, it's each part doing its work. The point is to get more people to connect more with more teams. And so each member can only mentor one teen at a time. I know some of y'all are like, oh, I'll take five kids, you know? But the point is just one person. That makes sense? And it's a one-on-one time where you hear out a teen. You're basically just a big old ear. You're basically just a big ear, and you listen, okay? It's a relational time. It's not about trying to pressure someone to study the Bible. If they want to study the Bible, trust me, they will tell you, right? Right? Yeah? They will tell you if they want to study the Bible. And if that happens, we have the mentors join and even lead Bible studies. But really what this is meant to do is relational time. Find out what do you like to do. Take an interest. Do what they like to do. Go to the park. Throw a frisbee. Shoot some hoops. Go to the mall. Grab a slice of pizza. It doesn't have to be expensive, but it's just quality time. And then what we encourage them to do is ask a lot of questions and just listen. How you doing? How's school going? How's everything at home? You know, anything that you're feeling, anything you're excited about, anything you're scared about. And that's what we have them do. Ask a bunch of questions, then just listen. But the point is not to be another parent. The point is to be a friend. Does that make sense? We don't want to have, they don't need another parent. They already got a couple of them. They need a friend. In 2016, some good news, okay? You ready for this? Now, I do believe when you connect relationally, God does miracles. And in 2016, we saw 13 teens baptized in New Jersey alone, right? That's pretty amazing. But that couldn't have happened without mentors getting in there to help our teens. It took people that were in the lives of other kids. Just a few examples. A sister named Sabrina. She has three sons. One of them's in college, one's in high school, one's in middle school. And she studied the Bible with a girl named Juliet. And she was baptized. She didn't have any girls. She got all boys, but she loved it. She was like, I get some girl time, you know, we can hang out, go paint our nails. Then we got Gerardo. He's a single dad with two boys. One's in college, one's in high school. And he mentored David, who became a Christian. We got Laura, who's a married woman with two young girls. And Laura lives in the next town over from Susie. So Susie would babysit Laura's girls. And Laura would spend time with Susie and eventually study the Bible with Susie. And Susie was baptized. Tommy asked Richard to mentor him. And Richard has one teen and one younger child with special needs. I mean, that's a lot to handle. But yet he decided, I'm going to take an interest. And that inspires me. They would go to the movies together, go out to eat. And he joined Tommy's Bible studies, and Tommy was baptized. You know, Brett and Dave, their families are very close. And so Dave, who has a couple boys, he brought Brett with him and his son on a community service trip to serve the poor. And they had great talks. They went out there and they lived like Jesus, serving people. So Brett studied the Bible. He became a Christian. We got Sherry and Kiana, a mother and her teen daughter. They studied with Naya, and she was baptized. And I'm just giving you some quick snippets of information. I could go on and on. It is amazing because we have unleashed the power of the church, and it's a beautiful thing. It's been really humbling and exciting to see what God is doing when each part does its work. Amen? Now, one important word of caution. There's a danger in viewing mentoring as the solution as a parent. And we can view it as the pill that's going to fix my child, right? The pill that will fix my children. Satan, demon, get out of that child. You know, we think that that's going to somehow cure them of their infirmities, right? But parents, you still have to do your part to shape a heart. You still have to do your part to shape your teen's heart. Having a mentor for your teen is awesome, but you are still their parent. In the next slide, Deuteronomy 6:7, it talks about parents, impress upon your children the law to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It doesn't say teen workers or mentors impress these commands on the teens. It says parents. Ephesians 6, that's the Old Testament, but I'll bring it to the New Testament. Ephesians 6, 1-4. It talks about, you know, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, raise them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. It doesn't say teen workers don't exasperate the children. It doesn't say teen, I mean, we shouldn't, but it doesn't say teen workers raise them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. It's the parents' responsibility. Teen workers and mentors are important and they're needed. But whose job is it? It's parents' job. It's your job. And God paints this picture throughout the Bible loud and clear. And with my daughter, it's my job. It is my job, and I feel that. And I'm excited about that. Now, I'm not saying this to burden you. I'm saying this to inspire you. This is your God-given role. You have been given beautiful children to teach and to train and show them who God is. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that incredible? TJ and I can tell the difference between kids whose parents are involved and kids whose parents are not engaged. I've seen kids get baptized because of their parents' good example and in spite of their parents' bad example. And I know I want to be a good example, and I know you all do too. As a teen leader, it's so refreshing to work with a teen whose parents have disciplined them and who have trained them. It makes a world of a difference, and I want to encourage you to keep doing your part. Because as a mentor and as a teen worker, I can't do anything. I can't do my part. It's very hard without the help of the parent. You guys are ultimately the biggest influence in your child's life. You know, the truth is that mentoring is not a new concept. As I'm talking about this, some of you probably have been thinking that. Mentoring is not a new concept. And many of you have already been doing it for years. Many of you as parents, you've pulled in people to spend time with your kids, spiritual people, people that can help them and teach them. And it's even in the Bible. In 1 Timothy 1-2, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we know from 2 Timothy 1:3-5 that Timothy's mom was Eunice and his grandmother was Lois and that they were faithful disciples of Jesus. So while Paul calls him here, addresses him, he felt like he was his father. Paul wasn't his dad. But he had a connection with him like he was. He was close to him. Paul was his mentor. He was his trainer. And Timothy's mom and grandma did their part. They did what God told them to do, and they instilled faith, a flame in Timothy. Right? And then Paul was able to mentor Timothy. It took mentors and parents uniting, both doing their part to shape Timothy's heart. And we know that the rest is history, that Timothy became an evangelist, a church leader, and someone who affected the kingdom of God, helping win souls for Christ and doing amazing things that we see in the Bible. You know, as we close today, I know that Westchester is a newly merged ministry, right? And we've got our differences. We've got things that make us similar, and we've got things that make us different. You know, sometimes in worship and songs we like and connect to, maybe we're different. What we value and what we think are top priorities, cultural differences. But I know that anyone in here that doesn't want to see their child go to heaven, I don't know anybody in here that doesn't want to see that. There's nobody in here that doesn't want to see their child make it. And in that, we are all the same. That's something that we can all get unified behind. Amen? So my prayer is that every child in New York City Church of Christ will have a strong network consisting of parents, youth workers, mentors, and peers that will help them to get to heaven. Amen? If you want to shape a heart, you got to do your part. I'm excited to see what Westchester does doing their part. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyccoc.net.